back to the New World next week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Anarchist Road Care, coming soon to a town near you. We've got that story, plus some chemical collusion. But first, to cut out the climate money, fake right has to find where fake left stashed it. And we grab this from Bloomberg. Trump will find the job of reining in spending on climate initiatives made harder by Obama-era policies of dispersing billions of dollars in programs across dozens of agencies, in part so they couldn't easily be cut out. There is no single list of those programs or their cost because Obama sought to integrate climate programs into everything the federal government did. The goal was to get agencies to take climate into account. I'm sorry, I misspoke. The goal was to get all agencies to take climate into account and also make those programs hard to disentangle. According to former members of the administration, in some cases, the idea was to make climate programs hard for Republicans in Congress to even find. Much of the effort in the Obama administration was to mainstream climate change, says Jesse Keenan, who worked on climate issues at HUD and now teaches at Harvard. He said all federal agencies were required to incorporate climate change plans into their operations. James, you could probably say quite a lot about this, but we'll keep it to, you know, just a regular short New World Next Week video, my friend.
Yes. Well, it shouldn't really be surprising that the tens of billions of dollars that have already been pumped into this scam and the hundreds of billions more are already baked into the cake and hardwired and hidden in various branches of the government so that they cannot be disentangled because, of course, everything relates to climate change these days, right, guys? So if you thought that just a flipping of the switch from D to R flipping of the puppet was going to make a fundamental difference to this steal from the poor, give to the rich, eugenics 2.0 scam that is the great climate swindle, I'm afraid that's not going to be quite so easy. And this isn't just about the government funding, although that's obviously a huge portion of it, but this is ultimately about the direction of tens of trillions of dollars in the global economy over the coming decades. And there are people who have a lot to gain from this scam continuing, which is why it will be exceptionally difficult to weed it out. It has to be attacked at its root. And on that note, I will direct people back to my conversation that I had yesterday with Dr. Judith Curry, where we were talking about climate modeling and about the fundamental central question of this climate change debate, equilibrium climate sensitivity, that, oh, by the way, just happens to be much lower than the IPCC used to say. And now they've revised that to an even lower estimate, and all signs point to the fact that in the next assessment report, they're going to have to revise that even lower. So, yes, no, doomsday is not coming, but they're still going to try to charge you for it and make you feel guilty for existing and breathing, and they're going to find a way to tax it. And that's unfortunately the way it is. We have to fight this with all our might, and anything that the Trump administration can do to actually defund this and get it weeded out of the government will be to the good, but I'm not holding my breath.
We'll include a quick related on this first story as we're sort of, talking about the swamp, the ever-filling swamp. EPA director, or rather deputy, EPA deputy, accused of working with Monsanto to kill the glyphosate cancer study. Damn that, Trump. Oh, wait, this story goes back to April 2015. Womp womp. Again, the ability or the attempts to try and paint it as a left or a right thing just doesn't work at all when you scratch below the surface. And in addition, James, to not only that Curry interview you did, also in your recent newsletter, you mentioned Monsatan on trial in the editorial in your last week's newsletter. So we'll include all of that in the show notes, just like we include everything that we say always in the show notes. They'll always be down there so you can get the links, you can get the stories, and continue the research for yourself. And our next story this week on episode 302 of New World Next Week shows the next step in the next world order. And we get it via Ars Technica, a new bill that is quietly moving through the House, H.R. 1313, would allow companies to strong-arm their employees into taking genetic tests and then sharing the data with unregulated third parties as well as, of course, the employer. Employees that resist could face penalties of thousands of dollars. In the past, such personal information has been protected by the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, GINA, which shields people from DNA-based discrimination. But this new bill, H.R. 1313, gets around this by allowing genetic testing to be a part of company wellness programs. Wellness being just one of the most popular words of the last decade. Company wellness programs, which often involve filling out health surveys and undergoing screenings, are pitched as a way to improve employee health and reduce overall healthcare costs. But research has shown that they have a little effect on employee health and actually end up costing companies more money. Still, they may survive as a way to push healthcare costs onto employees, because that's the name of the game. All of these, it's the giant tax grid. Even though the story's changed, it's still a lot about the tax grid. They may survive as a way, they give all the bad stuff to us, and they take all the good stuff is the simple way to put it. But as Ars Technica's reported before, companies use financial incentives to get employees to participate in these wellness programs. Under Obamacare, the incentives can include all sorts of rewards and compensations, the carrot, if you will. However, people who don't want to participate get the stick. You can pay up to 60% more on employer-sponsored insurance premiums, yet employee participation in these wellness programs, James, is still considered voluntary.
Considered voluntary. But yes, this is clearly a part of a social engineering towards the Gattaca society, where your genetic information is not private. It is part of your health record. And that is coming, and this is just one step toward it. And of course, it starts off in voluntary wellness programs, where employees are effectively penalized for not participating in these programs, which, as you point out, and as is quite easily demonstrable, do not have the effects that they're intended to have in actually promoting employee health. I mean, it's not about that fundamentally. It is about transferring costs to the employees. And also, it's about, well, now that we have you in this wellness program, well, you have to take this genetic test. So there are multiple layers to this story, and it gets, I mean, it really gets disturbing the more you know about the actual history of things like the Eugenics Record Office and the people like Charles Davenport, whose life mission was to try to categorize and get as much information about the family lineages of different people so he could sort out the best stock and eliminate the weeds and all of this. This has been the obsession of the billionaires who have been in charge of this planet for the past century and a half, at the very least, and it will continue to be. It has not gone away. This is the next stage of eugenics. It's just going to get even crazier from here. And guess what, guys? It's a big club, and you ain't in it. The people with their hands on the levers of power do not consider you and your family good enough to be living on this planet. They want to see you eliminated from the gene pool. That's what this is ultimately about. It's a very, very scary story when you really start to put that history into it, which is exactly why that's what I'm going to be writing about in this weekend's newsletter, so please stay tuned for that.
I've seen this, actually, probably at the last couple of regular jobs that I had, from the cool hippie organic grocery store here in Portland, also to just the commercial radio station. It all starts out as sort of bike to work challenges and fitness contests between your coworkers, things that can actually be motivators to get you off your butt and exercise, fun to challenge yourself and your coworkers or friends. But as you're just saying, it gets darker and darker. I tried to kind of explain this. I briefly covered this story this morning on the Morning Monarchy. I tried to compare, it's what I think of it is almost like all the filthy federal lucre that was handed out to all the police states after 9/11 so they could get all that latest high-tech surveillance submission weapons, which, spoiler alert, did not stop after the Bush years. It's all continued to roll on, and of course it got the extra technological overlay during the Obama years, so they can spy on the protesters so they know where to roll out the sound wave cannons. This is basically the disease industry version of that, but instead of it being Boeing and Lockheed, it's Kaiser and Pfizer and the rest of the whole chemical food pharma cartel, which again, if you do that research, you'll find a lot of those same figures and a lot of the same families and a lot of the same bloodlines that have been pushing this for a long, long time. That's all pretty brutal, depressing news. So as we've been noting on the show, damn, we need some good news. So our last story on this new world next week is some good news this week. And it was the one story I was sent this past week by multiple people, from my wife to my subscribers to Sean Broad on Twitter, who basically, James, just tweeted it at the both of us and said, awesome. Need a pothole fixed? Maybe a Portland anarchist can help. This via our city's own Portland Mercury new Facebook page has appeared, touting the handiwork of Portland Anarchist Road Care Park, an organization who claims to be taking the state of the roads of PDX into the hands of the people, PDX being Portland's airport code and sort of the city nickname. Facebook's page says, quote, because we believe in building community solutions to the issues we face outside of the state, because society portrays anarchists as only breaking windows and blocking roads, because when faced with anarchism as a political theory, statists often ask, but who will fix the roads? Because the city of Portland refuses to adequately repair roads in a timely manner. We are Portland Anarchist Road Care. We believe in community-oriented direct action. We believe the state cares more about funding a militarized police force to suppress free speech than caring for and repairing the roads. Portland Anarchist Road Care aims to mobilize crews throughout our city and our neighborhoods to patch our streets, build community, and continue to find solutions to community problems outside the state, end quote. Portland Anarchist Road Care says they've already patched 5 potholes and are monitoring the patches to make sure they hold up. The Mercury closes by saying it won't be easy, but their hope is to turn the public perception of anarchism from essentially smartphone-using, anonymous mask-wearing, flag-burning schmucks to pneumatic drill-using, protective goggle-wearing, road-fixing heroes, James. This story is pretty good. There's some hate in the comment section of this story on the Portland Mercury, but this made your day, didn't it?
Oh, this potentially made my year. In fact, I don't recall, so I might be going on a limb here, but I believe my New World Next Year prediction for the trend for 2016 was something along these lines, building community rather than conspiracy, right? So this has been my vision for a long time, and I've tried to articulate this a few times, and no one seems interested in it, but this, for me, is the way forward. Who cares? No one cares if you're out waving your flags being angry at people and screaming about how much everything sucks and how everything's against you and I'm the poor helpless victim and woe is me. I don't care. Fundamentally, I don't care. I want to see people taking direct community action and doing things that they can do, taking action, taking things into their own hands and doing things. And doing it, sure. I mean, hey, anarchists dressed in black masks doing this, fixing roads rather than smashing windows. It's such a no-brainer that this is the way forward. And can you imagine 9/11 truthers, rather than, you know, raging and just being angry at people on the internet, going out there and, you know, giving people soup and bread in a soup line or something, you know, contributing to the community. Who are you more likely going to listen to? Someone who's just raging and ranting and screw the world, I hate you, I hate everything, I hate everyone who doesn't agree with me, or someone who's out there trying to help and build a better community? It's absolutely a no-brainer to me. That's why I so love this idea, and I will promote the hell out of anyone who is doing this anywhere in the world. So please send me these types of stories when you see them pop up.
And people will be able to find the links to the Facebook page. I think they actually also have an email address as well. And again, this idea, there's no monopoly on this here. As we talk about a lot on these shows, it's a lot about the ideas, the memes, the mind viruses that are unstoppable. So it's good to have a little bit more good news as we wrap up this New World Next Week episode. And I will wrap it up by saying, as we usually do, we are independent, non-commercial, alternative media. James, you and I have both been reminding folks lately, you've never seen an ad, you've never seen a pre-roll, any of that stuff in any of our work in all the years that we've been doing this. So we ask that people, if they find this valuable and if they can, to support our work, Patreon being a great way to do that. And there you go.
All right, I think we're going to leave it there. So it's good to end on a good news week story again. Anyway, we'll be back at it again next week. Thank you for the 3 stories, James.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.